You get these junket invitations. Have you ever taken a sort of junket for your organization and they say, go do this and it's paid for, and then you feel like a little bit of a shill, but you're like, hey, sunshine.
No, I think there's another word for what you feel like. No, I've never actually taken them. I got invited to do one, but then I remember I was at the Score at the time, and they said, you're not going to do it. We're going to give it to somebody else.
Where was it? Where were you? Where would you go?
I think it was something like Bahamas or Barbados. And I was like, what, am I not Employee of the Month? Did I do something wrong here? But they gave it away to somebody else, so... I don't know. And by the way, I know what it's like to be working at this time of the year. I remember when I was my days at the Fan around this time of year would always be Elliot Friedman, Howard Berger, Ken Daniels. Can't understand why. I don't know what the correlation was between all of us.
Well, the Raptors have never have they ever played it? Used to be the Raptors were. Have they ever played a Christmas Day game elsewhere?
Believe
I don't
so.
Think they have they?
No.
Maybe that'll start to happen.
Boxing Day.
Oh, okay. But yeah. But you imagine these college football players, it's like, I think the worst team gets to go to Nassau in the Bahamas and the better team gets to go to Detroit to Ford Field 2 days later. Like, lose that extra game and play in the Bahamas Bowl, fellas.
It's all about the money payout, right?
Tank it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Elliot Friedman, our guest for Sisley Honda. So the roster freeze comes into effect when? Tomorrow?
Tonight.
Okay.
11:59 tonight.
When was Brian Burke's deadline for the Flames
self-imposed
trade?
Well, that's a week ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. They're all safe.
I lost track of all of his different deadlines over the years.
I didn't know if he took that policy to the Flames or not. He doesn't talk
he
about
did.
It. Okay, good.
He did, yes.
There's been a lot of rumors surrounding, well, obviously Edmonton, and Boston's another one of those teams. They're still having trouble scoring. They're kind of sitting right there in the middle of the conference. I was thinking about this the other day, because when they made the Tyler Seguin deal, Elliot, I think we all knew that the Dallas Stars were getting the best player in the deal.
Potentially.
But everyone kind of assumed that, you know what, it's going to keep Boston incredibly deep and relevant for the next how many years? They'll never regret it. Is there already a big sense of regret?
Whether they admit it or not, there has to be. I think they like Riley Smith a lot, and he was a 51-point player for them last year. But, Louis Erickson has been a disappointment, and you see what Seguin is turning into. And it's not only that, but if you'll remember, when the Bruins made the trade, not only did they do it, but they released that video where they, a couple of the guys on it were pretty openly disparaging of Seguin's character and how much, he was hurting them. And I think that just added to everything else, because undoubtedly Seguin was aware of what they did, and I'm sure it helped make him even more determined to have them regret that deal. Boston's looking around at a lot of things. I think they're really concerned about the lack of edge on their team. The Bruins have an identity. They don't have that identity right now, and they're trying to find maybe a player or two that can help them get back to being the way they are. They've talked a lot with St. Louis. One of the issues the Bruins have is they don't have a lot of cap room, and they've got a lot of things they have to deal with after this year. And, they've been linked to TJ Oshie, and the issue there is that Oshie's got more term. He's got a couple of years, and I'm not sure Boston wants to add guys with more term. At least in Erickson's case, even though he's struggled, he's only got 1 year left if they want to get out of it. Now, one name I'm starting to hear connected to the Bruins a bit, and it's a bit more of a longer shot, is Zach Cassian of Vancouver. And he's hurt right now, but I think they may be willing to take a chance on him when he gets back, because he probably doesn't cost them as much. And if they can get him to be who he can be, and he hasn't been that guy yet, he can add what they're lacking and missing.
Is TJ Oshie really available? That's a guy that could play on my team any day.
The issue there, Greg, is if you take a look, or Andrew, is if you take a look at St. Louis, is that they have a lot of guys coming up. In the next 2 years, they're going to have to deal with Jake Allen. They're going to have to deal with Laterra. They're going to have to deal with Schwartz, who they had a battle with this year. And this summer, they have to deal with Tarasenko. Their best players now are not their veterans. They're the new guys, especially offensively, and they're going to have to deal with all of them. Now, Doug Armstrong is a guy who takes a pretty hard line in early contract talks. If you go back and you look at his history, he doesn't do he does a lot of bridge deals, especially for forwards. Now, Shattenkirk was an exception. Pietrangelo was an exception. But he took a hard line with Schwartz this year. He's taken a hard line with a lot of his guys before they crossed the $3 million mark. It doesn't sound like he's going to do that with Tarasenko. I think he's going to have to. He's going to give him a bigger deal. But he's going to have to. And he's going to have to reward Schwartz and Laterra. So I think he's looking at this whole situation, and he says, boy, I need to free up some money. And I think he also looks at it and says, you know, the fact is the veterans there are being surpassed by some of these guys. So, yes, I think in the right situation, Andrew, TJ Oshie is available.
Elliot Friedman joining us for Cicely Hahn on Brady and Walker, 7:32. Doubleheader, by the way, on CBC tomorrow. Flyers, Leafs, Calgary, Vancouver. The way it's going, someone has to win that game. Can't end in a tie. On City tomorrow, Ottawa's in Montreal. You wrote about a lot about the impact of Saku Koivu. And I find the Koivu thing fascinating because we'd never say he was a fantastic hockey player. But I'll tell you what he did do, Elliot, and you kind of crystallize this in your story, is the meaning of him. And I'd even say restoring the captaincy to where when we were kids, it was every kid in the playground knew who the Habs captain was. And he didn't have to be the best player. It was Yvonne Cornway or Bob Gainey. But he kind of took the captaincy when it was kind of a little bit of a tarred title. It was a hassle for guys like Kirk Muller and Vincent Domfus and Mike Keane. And they got bitched at by the press all the time. And he took it, embraced it. And you can't even put into words what he meant. And every Canadiens fan would have wanted him to go to Anaheim and win in Anaheim. He never got to play in a Stanley Cup final, almost 1,200 games.
You know, don't forget also, though, Greg, he did take a lot of grief in Montreal for never learning French. And that's why I thought it was so interesting last night. He made sure that he started and ended his speech in French, because he got grief for that. Even when he was doing so much for the community off the ice by helping raise the $8 million for the PET scan machine for early detection of cancer, there were still people who complained about it. So he had his moments there that he really regretted. And the other thing, too, is when he left, that was a time when they didn't even make him an offer. And I think he was really surprised and hurt by that. Those tears last night, it reminded me a lot of Sundin, in the sense that when Sundin came back for the first time as a member of the Canucks, I honestly think he didn't know what to expect, and that's why he was so emotional. Koivu, the first time he came back with Anaheim, they didn't even do a video for him. And that's why, even though he was getting honored last night, I'm not sure he 100% expected what he was going to get. And that's why those tears were so genuine, because at that moment, I think he finally realized how much he meant to Montreal, and all the controversies were over. He was accepted, he was thanked, and the people there understood that his impact went beyond the ice.
Elliot Friedman, our guest for Cicely Hahn. God, I wanted to ask you about Cam Ward, but we actually don't have time. But I could talk about former Red Deer Rebels all day. You know that. So, all right.
Yes, Andrew. I know
the listeners are aware.
Former mayor or the mayor there, everybody. Yes, I know.
Answer my Cam Ward question on Twitter. How about that?
Okay.
There
we
go.
Sure.
All right.
Is he going on waivers? Is that what you're reporting?
Who, Cam Ward? No, but is someone going to take a run at him?
Did the Leafs truly make a Brandon Cozen for Cam Ward trade offer?
Yeah, and that really happened.
Was it giggled at?
All right, thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.